Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Guitar Nerds.
Okay.
Yeah. I am your host, Joe Branton. I'm joined this evening by the enigmatic J. Cross.
Hi, Joe.
Oh. And by the miracle of modern technology, I'm also joined by Matthew Knight, who is over there, who is joining us streaming all the way from London. Now, anyone who is a regular listener will notice that I am not, in fact, the normal host of Guitar Nerds. In fact, I'm more the
foil,
the comic relief,
the foil
for this gaggle of sods. but unfortunately, our host Mark Packham is on holiday today, which is
his
a rarity.
His first holiday.
One of the only podcasts that Mark has ever missed in the 3 years we've been doing this.
Yeah.
Which is quite ironic, really, because this is in fact the launch of Amplify.
Yes, Amplify, which is this great streaming service that we have been using for the last 3 weeks.
Yeah, this would be the third. We did a test.
And then
we did last week, which was a second more serious test.
Yeah.
And this is the first one. Now, of course, there are many mediums by which you can listen to Guitar Nerds or watch Guitar Nerds. So you may not be watching live on Amplify. Our regular listeners download this as an audio podcast. We also upload it to YouTube, so you may well be watching it in the future there. I may well be watching it in the future there. So
do you
hello
watch
to me. I haven't ever. Have you?
I don't really like the sound of my own voice.
No,
which
no one
probably
does.
I mean, probably comes as no surprise to anybody. So I try not to. Every now and again, I'll go back to, like, if I know I've said like a funny joke or something, I'll go back and I'll see whether it was lost or
just rewatch
not on
it
you guys.
A few times.
Well, no, just listen to it, make sure it was all you know, still there.
Well, that's for the best.
Oh, it looks like Matt. Have we lost you?
Matt Knight.
Oh, no,
I'm here.
Back.
Oh, wonderful.
I am here. Don't worry, I can hear you.
I guess we're going to see how this one goes, because as much as I do hate to say, you know, like, oh, Mark sort of ties this all together and stuff, he kind of does tie it together, because he's the one who sort of pays attention to stuff, whereas you and me sort of generally... Cheers.
Yeah, cheers.
Cheers, Matt.
Oh, okay. I've got a can of Coke.
Oh, okay. Excellent. I tell you what, though, this is a good segue, because So we're recording in my house, and we've got this this nice glass table that we're recording on. And so I didn't want the beers just to be on the table.
That's a great idea.
I mean, I'm going to put the beer on the table now just to hold up. I do have Ernie Ball Power Slinky coasters. I've got a skinny top heavy bottom coaster up here as well.
And it's what? It's the 15th today, is it the 15th?
Today's the 14th.
It's the 14th, which means we are four days away from Father's Day. So, I mean, what better present than an Ernie Ball coaster set?
What
better way to say I love you, Dad, than...
Also, because I'm cool and use Power Slinkies, you've got...
I've got Martin.
You've got a Martin sound... And that's actually... That's a coaster. And I got that when I went on... when I went on the Martin tour in Nazareth, Pennsylvania, which is well good. And if you are anywhere near rural Pennsylvania at any time in your life, head up to Nazareth and go on the Martin tour, because it is really, really cool, really interesting. And what this is as well as just being a coaster, you know, I got that. That is, do you know where it comes from?
Is it the sound hole?
It's to cut out the sound hole.
Wow.
They turn them into coasters. Isn't that, how about that? Isn't that cool?
That's that is definitely maximising on old junk and making money from it.
No, I got it for free.
Oh, right, yeah.
So, well, I mean, no, we didn't pay for the tour. The tour was free as well. The tour's wicked. Nazareth, the factory in Nazareth is really interesting. I know I've spoken about it before, but it is, like, it's definitely worth going to. It's about an hour and a half north of Philadelphia, about an hour and a half away, maybe a little bit more than that, from New York. It's not a million miles away. You should definitely go if anyone listening is in that area at any time. It's really worth the trip out there. It's really cool.
Oh, sweet. Well, I mean, I think sort of on that note, because mentioning that you have spoken about it before, and I must apologise to our regular viewers and our regular listeners, but as this is the Amplify launch night, and potentially we have people watching who might not be aware of what Guitar Nerds is, so I'll explain a little bit about what Guitar Nerds is to start with.
Nobody likes an origin story.
Oh yeah, well no. Technically, Deadpool's an origin story.
Is it? I mean, as long as it's not another Batman origin story. Nobody needs another Batman origin story. Just do a quick origin story.
So Guitar Nerds is
I'm going to clean my glasses.
You do that. So Guitar Nerds is a weekly podcast, video and audio, where the gang of Guitar Nerds get together and we talk about all things guitars. Now, you can ask us questions. If you are listening to us live on Amplify, you can ask us via the wonderful J Cross any questions that you like, and we'll try and answer them if they're interesting. You can also get involved on our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/guitar nerds forums, where there is a whole community of people who you can ask questions to. We're there as well, and we'll answer questions. We also might take some of your questions and deal with them in the podcast, as we're going to be doing today. You can also follow Guitar Nerds on Twitter if you have any burning questions. You can follow us all individually. I'll give you those addresses later. You can check out our Instagram at Guitar Nerds, where we post loads of cool pictures and stuff. Matt Knight, you actually do a lot of the Instagram at the moment, mainly because you have a ridiculous amp and pedal board setup.
Yeah, I think take charge, show some people some nice photos, and I'm one of the few people to work kind of, I suppose, on the front line in the guitar store, seeing all the nice guitars as they come out of the cases. That's so right.
It's worth noting that at one time or another, all four of us involved in this podcast have or do work in guitar stores. I think we've probably got about 40 years worth of experience collectively between us.
Yeah, something like that.
In guitar
quite a
shops.
Long time.
So we've seen it all. We don't know anything, but we're very good at pretending we do.
That's true. That's exactly what we do.
But yeah, thanks for listening. see you next week.
Yeah, that's it. Cheers, everyone. So yeah, so that's kind of what Guitar Nerds do. We also run a YouTube, youtube.com/guitar nerds videos. On there we do loads of things. We do top fives. We also do a pedal of the week, which we have some of the pedals of the week here. Matt Knight demos all of these for us, so we'll be talking about these in more depth later in the podcast. So there are lots and lots of ways you can get you can interact with us as Guitar Nerds and with the rest of the Guitar Nerds community. Let's start the podcast kind of as normal as Mark Packham would were he here, which is by asking kind of what everyone has been up to.
Yeah.
Matt Knight, we'll start with you. What have you been up to?
Well, the main thing guitar-wise this week was I came and did some videos, which I think we're probably going to talk about in depth in a bit, but that's how I spent the majority of my weekend.
That's right. Well, we can talk about
hanging out
now
with you boys. Yeah, so I got to come and hang out with you lovely people, and we shot a load of videos because loads of people have been really nice and sent us some free stuff to kind of do some demos on. So We did. How many pedal demos did we do?
I think
we did quite a lot.
It was an awful lot. So we did loads of pedal demo reviews. We got one bass pedal in as well, which was quite cool.
Yeah.
But we did some great stuff as well. You did amazingly, because I think we started at 11 o'clock and finished at 5:30, and you powered on through.
6.5 hours behind the camera goes pretty quickly, but it's also very tiring.
Yeah, I was behind the camera. You were in front of it.
Oh, yeah. You know, it just, in some way, shape, or form, near a camera for that length of time. But yeah, it was really good. It's always good to just, the four of us, to like get together in the same room, because I don't live in Brighton anymore, so it was a shame that we can't always get together. But yeah, it was nice to kind of hang out and demo a load of stuff and play some cool guitars. And like, companies, I'm amazed that companies have been so nice to us and like given us some great stuff to demo as well, and not just like big names, like some real boutique guys who, you know, are sort of trying to get their name out there, and
example here of everything from kind of quite mainstream brands to sort of more boutique brands on the edge here. So
I think a lot of new companies, especially when the stuff's hand built and a lot of time and effort goes into it, and like every pedal is their kind of bread and butter, it's their paycheck, you know, so, and they might build them in smaller numbers than, you know, other companies, for them to send us stuff to demo is, you know, really, really nice. And from all over the world as well. It's not just like people in the UK. And it's a great way for us to kind of shout about new brands, which I really like. And also, you know, for someone who works in the guitar store, you see the same things over and over, and you see the same sort of mainstream brands over and over. It's kind of nice to open the box and be like, oh, I've never really heard of these guys. And then you plug the pedal in, you're like, this stands up against some of the like biggest pedals out there.
Yeah. And we had that a few times in our recording session over the weekend as well, where there were just sort of pedal brands, pedal companies that we'd not heard of, and the effects we were using were off the hook.
Yeah, I think there was some stuff that I demoed that weekend that I've played through before and kind of thought, well, yeah, it's okay, and then sort of actually sitting down with it and playing it, it was like, oh yeah, this like pedal's amazing. The Vapor Trail was the one for me.
I was thinking about it today. Which I've got here. The Seymour Duncan Vapor Trail, which is a Seymour Duncan delay.
Analog delay. They're so good, aren't they?
Yeah.
They sound so good.
I think that and the Clisonic, which is the one next to it there, were my two highlights of the day, I think.
This was remarkable. I should have brought the box over for this, because
that's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it's huge, and it comes in a really, it's full padding, and it's got like, you know, it's little cutout in the middle. But look at that. That is there are lots of just sort of plain metal box pedals, but that is a really high quality little unit, and it sounded incredible.
The cool thing about that was there's no fuzz control. They've kind of just gone, no, we've got the optimum level of fuzz. Your guitar will do the rest. Like, here's a harmonics control and here's a volume. I suppose in a way a bit like the harmonic percolator, because is there a gain control on that?
I can show
there's
you if
one
you want.
Behind
let's have
you.
A look at the harmonic percolator.
No, so the harmonic percolator, you've just got in and out. You've got harmonics and balance. So I think you blend in the signal. I mean, I don't really know how it works, but I think you blend in the fuzz.
You just
fuzz.
Turn it up on full.
I mean, I can't remember. Yeah, sometimes.
That's a cool pedal, though. That thing sounds amazing.
It does. It is great. I every now and again, I'm like, oh, I don't really need this. Maybe I'll sell it. And then I plug it in and I'm like, no, that's an absolutely ridiculous thing to suggest.
Do they make those anymore?
Interfax... I don't think. That was probably a bit loud.
Yeah, that's all right. The only reason I asked was because Third Eye Pedals, who are a little pedal manufacturer in Brighton, do a little...
They're all making clones of them now. There's plenty of clones out there. So I think as much as we predicted that Matty predicted that the Dumble emulator, or not emulator, but like the Dumble preamp was going to be the next big, the next big sort of cloned pedal after the Klon Centaur was last year. Yeah. I reckon the the harmonic percolator as well. They've just had this really cool resurgence, which is very cool.
The harmonic percolator to come back a bit. I really think it's a brilliant pedal.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see it sort of embraced a little bit more. At the moment, I do think it's a little underrepresented.
Which is weird because I mean it's Steve Albini, isn't it? Like it's Steve Albini who made it famous, and it's, you know, one of the most famous rock and roll producers of all time playing his favorite, making his favorite sound. I mean, I don't really understand what's to dislike there.
Yeah.
Even I like it. I don't like fuzz at all. Not really.
I was actually having a look. The people that make it now are like Theramaniacs. So they make like an exact copy because they got the rights to do it from the guys who built them in the 70s. And the two controls are basically input gain and output gain.
I mean,
great.
What they've basically done is
you just don't need any more than that.
Here's a good sound. Use it if you want. Turn it up if you want.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it if you don't. Like that's what they've done. It's great. It's brilliant. Really, really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool.
We actually there was another pedal actually that we got to do. This chap, the Empress tape delay, which we're giving away. Soon as
at
well, aren't
point.
We?
Is that going to be one of the early competitions? I think that's going to be a competition relatively soon. I think
that's
isn't
right.
It?
Yeah, I think we're going to do it on the YouTube. I think was the idea, and we're going to be giving this away, which Matt demoed on the weekend. So we're going to upload that soon. But it was this is one of the best having. Tape style delay systems, having the ability to switch the tape aging between new, vintage and old, and having a separate modulation function between little, none and lots, it just sounded incredible. Like it took a little while for you, Matt, didn't it, to sort of get anything that was especially unique out of it, but I think when we found that it could do the sort of aged tape style sound, it was just incredible. It was a great pedal.
Yeah, but for me, it's the Vapor Trail was the one that you instantly plugged into, and you're like, in fact, I mean, all of them through the, because we've been messing around with like a new recording setup as well. Because I suppose this is all sort of like a constant learning process for us. Like even though the videos are like relatively sort of new to us in terms of doing it for guitar nerds. And yeah, having the two notes Laclean for our preamp like made such a massive difference.
Oh yeah, completely.
Compared to the videos we've done before.
First time we gave it a good run out, wasn't it? And it's really cool because it's one of those things where, you know, working in guitar stores and stuff, you quite often get, people ask you and they say, right, okay, what do you recommend? What do you recommend is a good recording interface? And like, you know, we haven't used them all. We go off of what we've been recommended by other people who've used them. And we go off of the specs and we go off of, you know, the demos that we've seen and stuff. So actually getting some proper time with something like the Two Notes Laclean, which was such a great unit, such a great, like a valve driven interface kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Really, really great. Really cool. Really cool.
So sort of bringing things back around to this, which was the sort of what has everyone been up to? Jay Cross, what have you been up to this week on a guitar related front?
There we go. Sorry, I lost my internet connection for a sec, but I'm back up and running. What have I been up to? I mean, I was with you all this week,
so it's more or less the same. I guess there's nothing independent.
Nothing hugely to write home about. No, just setting all this up and everything.
So I got to check out some pretty cool stuff today. And they're all secrets.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, except for one. I uploaded a picture onto our Facebook group, facebook.com/guitarnerdsforum, earlier today, which was of myself holding the orange O-bass.
Yes.
So I can tell you that there is some exciting new orange stuff.
Cool.
On its way.
So that bass... is, I'm looking forward to that. How do we know?
Well, that's out. No, that's
out.
That's the one thing that was out. Okay. It's what I was plugging it into.
Very cool.
Which was pretty cool.
You've probably said too much. Maybe. I hope James isn't listening.
Yeah, I hope so too. Actually, but yeah, I tried out some great new orange stuff. that's yet to be announced.
Okay.
Which one of the things that they're soon to announce, I think, is an absolute game changer for the sort of people who listen to and watch this podcast.
Cool.
For people with lots of these.
Is it the Matt Knight? Is it Matt Knight's face on a pedal?
Yeah, it's.
And you get to, oh no, is it your face on a pedal and people get to stamp on it?
That's exactly what,
really?
Yeah, that's
the JB, the JB Spesh.
Stomp. Yeah.
The JB Stomp Spesh.
That's it. But yeah, I got to try out the Orange O bass, which is great. So so Orange have made their own bass. It's designed by Aid, the fella who has made most of the really great decisions that Orange have made over the years, and they've released their own bass, which is strange for an amp company to do. But what they've made is essentially an undersized Les Paul body shape with a precision bass pickup in it and a Rickenbacker style heavy lacquered neck in a full 34 inch scale. So spec wise, it's great. They've then done it in amazing finishes like a vintage black. They've done it in an incredible like 70s two-tone sunburst, and they've released it in orange.
Orange. Is that the finish?
That's
color.
Yeah, that's
right. Okay,
that's
buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. But they also all the instruments come with a choice of scratch plates. So you get a Tort and a Mint Guard with the vintage black and the two-tone sunburst, and you get a white and a black with the orange instrument. They come with an orange gig bag, a very heavily padded gig bag, and they're 279 or 289.
Yeah.
Which means they're less than a classic Vibe Squire, and all the features on them are really good. I was really impressed. I was a bit like, when I came in to sort of do the demos and I was told that the Orange were bringing their O-Bass, I was a bit like, oh, you know, that's a shame. Like, Orange bringing their own bass, and it's a cheap bass, and I'm trying to show off the amplifiers, and I'm going to have to use this sort of pony beginner's bass. It sounded wicked. I was really, really into it. So, obviously, you can see it on the group. You can see how good it looks and check it out on Latinternet, but an absolutely cracking bass. And so affordable that I think, if you're a guitarist and you're looking for something to kick around on or to record on, then they're absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, because I was just having a look. I think they first announced those in NAMM 2014.
Yeah, it's been on and off. We actually spoke about it on the podcast a while back because Orange brought me a prototype about a year ago or just over a year ago. They brought in a white one, which they ended up not releasing, a white one with an orange scratch plate. But yeah, it's been... They've obviously been messing around with the idea for a long time. But I'm actually really glad they've done it. I almost wish they'd set up their own brand and not released it as Orange, because I think there'll be a slight problem with people taking it seriously whenever amplifier brands do guitars. I mean, certainly Dan Armstrong and Ampeg got away with it.
Yeah.
Line 6 got away with it, maybe?
I think they've gotten a lot more... I think they've got a lot more kudos recently rather than... Mm. I don't know. The early ones were very popular as well, weren't they?
I was thinking of the older ones. The what's
it's
his
a
name?
Lot of the time, though. When
James Tyler.
Yeah.
You what, Matty?
Yeah. It's when they get someone else involved. It's when they get someone else involved that it kind of gives them a little bit more of a head start, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Orange haven't really done that, but having the fella who kind of helped design everything cool that's ever happened with Orange is kind of a cool thing. And if anyone's ever seen him, he is like a slice of the 1970s, so it sort of stands to reason that...
Aid is very cool. He's a very, very cool bloke. Really, like, very, very cool. And he, you know, what's cool about Orange is it's not, you know, Cliff Cooper, who started Orange in 1964 or 8, I don't know, I can't remember. When Cliff Cooper started Orange, he's still there, you know, he's still in the office, and his son is still very much in the running of the company. And then you've got Aid, who joined maybe like 20 years ago or something, I think. And, you know, Aid invented the lunchbox amp with the Tiny Terror.
Yeah. It's pretty mental, really, isn't it, when you think about that?
I was speaking to one of the other techs who works there, a guy called Rob, who's a mate of mine, and he said that Aid basically just went, like, one day just went, you know what I really want to do is I want to make an amp that fits on an A4 piece of paper. And everyone was like, nah, mate, you're mental. No one will ever buy that. That's ridiculous. Why is anyone ever going to want that? And he went, nah, I'm going to do it. And he built the Tiny Terror, and everyone just... It was just a complete game changer. Complete game changer. And he's still there. And also, he's, like, a mastering engineer. He, like, on the side, he's a mastering engineer. He's mastered the last, like, bunch of Iron Maiden records. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's a proper rock and roll bloke.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, that's the cool thing with Orange, is it's all there. It's all, like, it's just a cool company. Very cool. I've got so much time for Orange, so much time.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Should we move on to some news?
Sure.
This is without Mark saying, can we move on to some news, and then me doing the sound effect, it's not quite the same.
Do you want me to say, should we move on to some news?
Yeah, yeah, go on.
Okay. I think with that, it's time to move on to some news.
News. Oh, and then I have to carry on.
And then
on.
You have to carry on. You really like, you just like being the foil, don't you?
We've got some news.
Okay.
As I've sorted out the news for this week, rather than Mark Packham, for the first time in maybe six or seven weeks,
years.
The news isn't going to be about really obscure pedals that have been released or clip-on sound hole tuners that you don't care about. I've actually got some real news that's actually happened, and that's a bigger deal than you realise, because we're in the middle of the summer at the moment and nothing happens.
No
one releases
until summer
anything.
NAM.
Yeah, until summer NAM, which is what everyone's waiting for.
Exactly.
But we do have some actual bits of news. So first off, Gretsch have released a new Electromatic series. That's right, as if Gretsch could get any cooler after they released the Streamliner series earlier this year, which we were all absolutely blown away with. I mean, the Streamliner series is quite genuinely the best guitars that you can buy for sub 400 quid on the market. The Electromatic series is kind of is back at it again. Matt Knight, have you got some information up there about the Electromatic series?
Yeah, they've actually, some of them have landed, so I've actually seen them and played them as well. And it sort of reminded me about how I felt when they had the original Electromatics and then they brought out the current ones, and we're like, that's such a massive improvement.
When they went from the 51, when they went from the 1 series to the 4 series, so when the serial numbers all changed from 5120 to 5420 and 5422 and stuff.
So before this range, the range that came out before, and it was like, oh, that's really great. And then they were sort of, it became like 600-700 quid, and then, as you say, the Streamliners come out, and then they're sort of like 200-300, and you're like, okay, so what's next? And then they're like, oh, and then we've also completely redesigned this Electromatic range. And as soon as I got one out of the box, I was like, these guitars look like a million times better, and they already looked really good. But like, so there's a couple of like standard choices, like the Aspen Green and the Orange, but they also do it in an amazing Fairline Blue, which is kind of like Lake Placid Blue.
Oh my God, I can't believe that finish. I can't believe Gretsch have done a Lake Placid Blue. It looks incredible. As if their colours could get any better.
Absolutely brilliant.
What's the name of the apple finish they do as well?
Is it Aspen? You're not thinking of Aspen Green.
Yeah. Aspen Green's great. So I've not had a chance to see any of these yet, these new Electromatics. But the thing that I really liked about the change from the 51, from like the 1 series, which is weird because it's the second number, but when they went from 51 to, you know, like the 54 stuff, they just like all of the little bits and bobs that needed changing. Because I used to have a 5125, I think it was a 5125, which was it had Diamond single coils, which is a bit weird for a Gretsch anyway, but it had Diamond single coils and it had the F holes and everything. But the big problem that I had was like it just everything looked a little bit unfinished, like the F holes weren't, the F holes were just left open. Then when they went to the 54 series, everything was, you know, they like bound the inside of the sound holes, which of the F holes, which just made everything like pop a little bit, and they just looked really cool. And because they looked cooler, I think you just picked it up and it's like, ah, yes. You know, it's just a lot more fun. That was always my impression with them anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I can't think of any other sort of instruments that kind of hit the price points that Gretsch managed to do and look as unique as they do now.
No, I agree.
Well, and I mean, yeah, giving Gretsch to the masses, basically.
Well,
because,
completely, because otherwise...
Which we haven't had. We haven't had for so long.
Yeah, because I think they were getting to a point where it's like, when a guitar is like £200 or £300, it can be like a snap decision, and like more than likely you're going to love it, but it's great to go out there and just go, I want to spend a couple of hundred quid. And the thing with Gretsch is, fantastic guitars, but they were getting to a price point where they're like £700, and that's like a much more serious decision.
Yeah.
And you know, Gretsch's are quite a unique sound. So with the Streamliners, they've then got to kind of reinvent the slightly more expensive ones. And actually, one of the things that really makes them stand out on the wall is the fact that the bodies are bound.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like on the blue, it just really sets them off. I think, if I remember rightly, just one of the main, because they've got the same pickups. I can't remember if they've changed the sound holes in any way, but I think it's that. Obviously, you've still got the Bigsby or Hardtail, and I think slightly different headstock as well. But I think it's mainly kind of new colours and then sort of like minor adjustments. But they are awesome guitars.
Yes.
Yeah, so definitely something to check out, gang. If you haven't seen them yet, go onto the Gretsch website. They have a full specs and a full list. Even include a left-handed model, which is great for Gretsch to actually...
No Bigsby yet, though. Still.
No left-handed Bigsby.
Which I really feel is something that they are just... They're really missing. Like, why haven't they done... I mean, how...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, they're going to be like a left-handed Bigsby is going to be more money, but like, you can't. There's so few. I can't think of a single off-the-shelf guitar that comes with a left-handed Bigsby.
No.
You know, you've got to buy the guitar, and then you've got to put a left-handed Bigsby on it. And it's just, if Gretsch were to release a guitar that already had the left-handed Bigsby on there, they would sell hand over fist.
Yeah,
they would
absolutely
sell so many of them. So many of them. But, but yeah, I don't know. It's good anyway.
Yeah. So, moving on to the second piece of news that we have for you. Now, this one isn't a new release as much as an old release, as in something that's been discontinued. Fender have discontinued their Mexican Deluxe series. Ooh. Now, of course, this doesn't come too late after they discontinued their American Deluxe series and replaced it with the American Elite series.
Yeah.
Which was virtually the same thing, but still very cool. So, we've no news on what is going to replace the Mexican Deluxe, but the Mexican Deluxe has been discontinued. The good thing about that is that it's just happened, meaning that certainly everyone in the UK still has loads of stock of Mexican Deluxe, which means that everyone is doing sales on Mexican Deluxes.
Well, I can't think of anything that was in the Deluxe range. It's like the Deluxe Players.
Yeah,
stuff.
So they do Strats with gold hardware.
Yeah, the really horrible.
What was the blue? What's the blue, Matt? They do like a navy blue or like a royal blue.
Because the one I was thinking of that's in the range is the Lone Star, which is the Ocean Turquoise.
Turquoise. They do like a royal blue or a crimson or something like that as
They do a royal blue, and they do like a there is sort of a brownie red through red as well.
It's nothing
like that. It's like a through color, but they're so unusual for Fender, like the whole sort of gold hardware and like these really sort of plush Ron Burgundy style colours.
Sapphire blue transparent.
Oh, even the name is Ron Burgundy. But still,
because have they got the extra switch on them as well, haven't they? Have they got the little push button switch,
S1
if I remember
switching.
Rightly?
S1 switch.
No, they've got like an extra little push button switch, if I remember rightly, between
what, like
the volume.
What was on the Elites?
Yeah, between the second tone.
Which I think brings in the bridge pickup wherever you are on the circuit, I think.
And it's noiseless pickups, isn't it?
Oh, God. They're
matching headstock?
No, they're not matching headstocks. They're such horrible guitars.
I don't know what you're talking about.
They're such horrible guitars.
But the point is, they're now a good sort of 100, 150 quid cheaper.
Right.
Which is really cool. Basses are all in there as well, which is pretty cool. The basses were definitely more tasteful
than the guitars. Do you want to tell everyone the address of your shop as well? Is that what this is?
Every shop is doing... Matt, your shop's doing a sale, surely. I mean, I did arrange a sale today for these.
Yeah, a far better one.
Honestly,
a better one, yeah.
Honestly, what is this?
Unbelievable. So, people who don't know, me and Matt work for the two probably biggest rival shops in the UK. We physically hate each other.
Actually, but talking about... discontinued guitars, I suppose, yeah, with that there could be, I mean, I don't know, but they could be doing like a Mexican Elite. That's something I'd like to see, but they kind of do
great.
Like, the difficult thing is that they already do like a Mexican Standard, and then you go up to kind of like American Special, so you've sort of already got that in between. So if you did something like that, wouldn't you be pushing the boundary of like two guitars that are basically same price point?
But they already do that with the Mexican Standard and the Squire Classic Vibe.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a difficult one. I mean, the guitar that I've sort of really been loving at the moment is the American Special
Telecaster. Do you want to buy one?
No, sorry, I don't want to buy one. No, the American Special Pro, like limited edition. It's got a Shawbucker in it. It's got the American Standard neck and the Texas Specials, so it's like a complete mix of like HSS
Strat,
so
it's like one
of those.
Is that new? That must be new. Is that new?
That is new. It's new and limited. But actually, I was going to say, one of the other reasons I think they're discontinuing a lot of things in the Mexican range is because so much more is coming from Fender Japan.
Really?
Because Fender now own Fender Japan.
I thought they just sold Fender Japan. I thought it was the other way around.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
No, the people that own Fender Japan have sold it to FMIC.
Right.
So that's why there's more stuff coming through. So I don't know if you've seen this sort of like some limited edition 60 Strats in lilac and like apple green.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen
that. Yeah, yeah.
Rose red, stuff like that. And things like the Richie Kotzen Tele and Strat and all those sort of
the
weird
Richie
and wonderful
Kotzen
guitars.
Strat. What an interesting instrument.
Gold hardware, Damasio's see-through white flame maple top Strat at £1,000. It's cheaper than an American Standard, and actually it's got a no caster neck on it. It's like the weirdest
It's the best thing ever.
It sounds so good, though. I would definitely buy
one of the most underrated guitars, because it is genuinely one of the ugliest Strats you will ever see. But honestly, it sounds amazing. It feels a no-caster neck on a Strat. It's like the best of both worlds. So it's really, really awesome and really worth checking out if you get to check out any Richie Kotzen stuff. Of course, Richie Kotzen in a band right now with the greatest bass player in the world.
Who's that?
Billy Sheehan.
Oh, never heard of him.
There we go. Anyway, so that more or less concludes our news. I noticed from Jay updating the Guitar Nerds Amplify thing. We've been joined by by Bass Diablo, who is my good friend JD.
Okay.
Who I went to the Fender factory with in the California Fender factory recently. Did I put all the pictures up on the group, on the Facebook group?
I think you put quite a few up there.
Yeah.
The other day. Or you put them on your personal one, at least. Yeah. I remember seeing them related to you, and I thought, oh, God, it's another post from Joe Branton. Better leave that.
Brilliant. Okay, anyway, wonderful. Moving on. So that concludes our news section. So we should move now on to, I guess Facebook questions.
Questions.
Oh, yeah, I've got it.
You've got to carry on.
I really prefer this when Mark has to do all the complicated bits.
When you just get to act the fool.
Yeah, I just sort of make funny noises. Right now, I've got to sort of like make sure that everything's streaming okay over here. I've got to make sure everything's recording okay for the listeners over here. I've got to sort of monitor your sound every time you lean back and lean forward.
Oh, okay.
I've got to read all these notes about what's going on. Like, Mark has a really hard job. I mean, I know he's probably the least interesting, but I understand why now. It's because there's so much else to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But wait, I thought you were the least interesting.
No. I'm the least knowledgeable.
No, I mean, that's definitely me.
No, you won the Guitar Nerds quiz.
Oh, it was a fix.
Yeah, it was a fix.
That was a fix.
That was me fixing it. Anyway, so our next section brings us on to questions. So so this week, we're going to take questions from our Facebook group, facebook.com/guitar nerds forum. Please join the group if you haven't already and interact with the community. Ask questions. We'll answer them. Incidentally, if you are on Amplify, ask questions now. And if they're good, we'll answer them. If you are listening to this as an audio podcast, I'm really sorry that we keep focusing on the video element. I promise we love
it's the future too. Mate, no, it's the future.
Yeah, but some people have got to go to work and stuff. Anyway, so questions, we're going to take a few. So the first one's coming from Robin on the Facebook group, and Robin says, so what's a good should I do these in silly voices?
No,
I'll do these in silly voices. So
that's very loud.
So what's a good entry-level setup for recording guitars? I'm happy with my amp and guitar setup, so what is a good way to record it? There's no cab sim or line out, so will it be microphones, sound card, computer? But it just seems so fiddly. Is there another way, more suited to a non-technical guitarist?
So, Jay, what did you say?
Everybody's just logged off, mate. I think you've just broken Amplify.
So, what's a good way to set up a home recording situation if you're already happy with your guitar and your amp, but you're looking for a simple way to record well? Matt Knight.
It depends what you want to do, because I think if you're actually like trying to record like tracks rather than just like jams, it's just like, oh, I'm jamming around, I want to record some riffs. Like, I don't think there's any way of avoiding like a microphone and amp setup or a microphone and interface setup. Like, you're going to need some sort of decent interface with decent preamps in it. Doesn't mean you have to spend a lot though. Like, a couple hundred quid will get you like a recording bundle, so like an interface and like a half decent microphone usually.
Focusrite are quite sharp at the moment.
They're in focus,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, they're very in focus. They've actually just released their second generation of their whole Scarlett range, which means again that their first generation has just dropped in price. So, and there's nothing wrong.
I'm not having this.
Come on.
Mark goes away for 5 minutes and you turn it into the Joe Branton deal zone.
It's a good job we're not the BBC, isn't it?
Oh, come on. Matt Knight, your shop is definitely doing deals on these as well. Anyway, I'm giving people deals. I'm not telling them to buy the new one. But anyway, Scarletts are very good. You can use them with Ableton. I really think Ableton is a great new platform, definitely for ease. I think everyone should be using it. Have either of you got experience with Ableton?
No, I've never used anything Ableton, but I did have a Focusrite Scarlett 2i2.
Yeah.
How many times did you plug that in?
Literally zero times. No, I did plug it in once, and I was like, I've absolutely no idea what I'm doing. I downloaded something. Did I download I'm sure it's still on here somewhere. What's like a record? I don't even know what the type of software is called.
It doesn't matter. You were probably using Pro Tools.
It was totally ridiculous. It wasn't Pro Tools. It was something.
Were you using Fruity Loops?
No, it definitely wasn't that good. It was it was something that I got free. Something begins with A, maybe.
Ableton.
I don't know. No, it wasn't Ableton. Anyway, okay, so this anyway, is definitely a terrible example. But I couldn't make it work, and I also realised that I definitely wasn't that interested. Yeah. So I just sold it.
So Matt Knight, is that what you think? You think you agree with me? The Focusrite Scarlett's kind of the way to go.
No, yeah, I would actually maybe the other thing's worth trying, which is what I use is Roland QuadCapture.
Oh, yeah.
Because they usually come with a free copy of Cubase LE.
Right, a Roland product, yeah.
I think is it? Yeah, of course. That or the Scarlett. I mean, they do the same thing. So it's two in, two out. I think the Focusrite's four out. So if you wanted to have some sub outs for other mixes, but you don't necessarily need to have like monitors or anything. Obviously, you can do it all through headphones. And then, yeah, to be honest, I've always used an SM57 mic straight into that, and then straight into. Like, yeah, I use Ableton, but to be honest, I get so bogged down with recording because I spent ages setting up and then I press record and I'm like, I can't even remember what I was going to record anymore. So I'd actually much rather record it onto like a Zoom Q3.
Yeah.
If I'm just recording like ideas, I'd rather just do it onto that and then just, yeah. You know, just so I think that was the cool thing about the TC Electronic, the wire trap that we were talking about the other week.
Yeah.
It's just like, if you plug it in at the end of your signal chain, it just kind of like records your riffs and then you're like, that's fine, that's all I'll ever need. But if you're going into proper recording, a decent interface with decent preamps is the way to start.
Definitely.
Yeah.
That was the TC Wiretap. Matt broke up a little bit there, but it was a really cool pedal that we spoke about a bit last week, so definitely worth checking out a new release.
We've actually had some feedback from the Amplify chat room. Mm-hmm. Jess, who's watching, says that Ableton is totally where it's at these days.
Absolutely, I couldn't agree more. There's a reason that Focusrite have switched from partnering up with who were they partnered up before? Pro Tools, and now they've moved to Ableton. So there's a reason people are moving on to Ableton. I completely agree. It's the best switch I've ever made.
I mean, Ableton just allows for like. There's two different ways you can workflow in Ableton, isn't there? You can do it a bit more traditional and you can do it a bit more like stems and steps, so it's kind of great for recording stuff and then sort of like easily switching bits around, and kind of the MIDI side of it's great as well. So if you're not much of a keyboard player and you've just got like a simple MIDI keyboard, it's easy for kind of adding in like soft synths and, you know, other instruments like really quickly.
Yeah, I completely agree. Okay, cool.
Sorry to interject. We also had a question, another question about recording, which I thought we'd just drop in whilst we're here.
Okay, yeah, let's drop in, yeah.
So Andrew on the Facebook group actually wanted to know, and the reason that I, you know, ever the narcissist, Andrew wanted to know what mics we use for recording. Mm-hmm. This
He's
podcast.
Also asked us a couple of times. I think.
Well, and we've just not known.
We definitely.
Do you know?
I
don't know. I'm gonna have a look.
So
I can't remember.
If Mark Packham was here, he could tell us.
They are. I don't want to be too
I
loud.
I think they're Sennheiser E. Are they Sennheiser
80,
E series?
80/80/10s.
Yeah.
So Alpha Tango 8010 Sennheiser, and
they're great. They're perfectly good, aren't they? Perfectly functional.
Sorry, Andrew, this is totally your fault. The noise is me. I had to take the mic off the stand so I could see what it was. Yeah. But yeah, that's where we are. So, yeah.
Right.
80, well, the 80, 10.
Good.
Okay.
Good job.
Excellent. I don't use any of that, but yeah.
Amazing. Okay, so next question. We'll move on to Corey. Corey says, I have an Epiphone SG, and I was wondering if it's worth doing some upgrades to the guitar, or do I save up for a Gibson SG? I'm mostly playing blues and southern rock. Jay Cross,
isn't this ever the question?
Ever the question? Do you upgrade the SG, or, well, here's the thing: if it was any other guitar,
I was going to say But 100% the same
really?
Thing.
Yeah. Oh, because
wait,
it's true.
What were you going to say?
Well, I was going to say, if it's any other guitar, if you were talking about a Squire Strat and you were saying, should I upgrade it or should I buy a Fender, I'd say upgrade. Maybe if you were saying an Epiphone Les Paul, I maybe would say upgrade. But if you say Epiphone SG, I think the Epiphone SG and a Gibson SG are a million miles away from each other. They're not the same instrument.
Yeah.
They're no, like, an Epiphone SG isn't even made to the same, like, it's not the same shape. So it's not, it's not a Gibson SG. So there are some upgrades you can make that will make it really good, but
I completely agree. I think it really depends on it depends on a number of things. So one of the things it depends on is, your budget. One of the other things it depends on is what the guitar is. And the other thing is what it is that you're looking to get out of it. And also, I would say, what the opportunity cost is. So if you say, you know, you want to go out, you're thinking about maybe going out and buying a Gibson SG. Say you get an SG standard, that's, for argument's sake, say £1,000 or whatever it is. You know, it's probably a little bit more, but say it's £1,000. But you've already got this Epiphone SG. You know, if you spend the extra money, if you have to save up and spend £1,000, does that mean that you then don't have an amp? Does that mean then you don't have pedals? Does that mean that you don't have this, don't have that? You know, so
they're part of a bigger picture.
Find out. You know, you've got to think for yourself what your objective is. Is your objective to have an absolutely bang tidy guitar, or is it to have a load of cool stuff and then chop and change what you upgrade? So maybe you upgrade your your reverb pedal, and then you upgrade your guitar cable or whatever, you know, upgrade bits and bobs. That said, I've had an Epiphone SG. That's like, I've had a Gibson SG as well, and they're just head and shoulders above.
And here's the thing, you said £1,000 earlier, but of course you don't have to pay.
Are they on sale at the moment?
You don't have to pay anywhere near that for a Gibson SG. Well, actually, it's not just my shop that's doing sales on Gibsons at the moment. I'm pretty sure. Yeah, there's more sales. There are lots of sales going on in the UK on Gibson at the moment. But incidentally, Gibson still have quite a lot of 2013 and 2014 stock. And of course, because, you know, we're now two evolutions of guitars on from that, the price is just dropping
out. And 2013 was the best year Gibson have had.
2014 was the best year.
2013 was the best year.
Oh yeah, because 2014 had the annoying 120 year thing.
So 2013 was the best year that they've had in so long.
Yeah.
Because you can buy the same guitar on... Because don't forget, you can buy the SG Special Faded for like £550, which is basically the same as the standard.
Unbelievable. But
minus slightly different pickups and not a cross finish.
Yeah. But I really like the sort of... what would you call the finish? The satin finish.
Satin finish, yeah.
On those. I think they're great. Just the fact that for the same price that Fender are doing, they're, to be honest, like, in comparison to every other brand out there, substandard
Mexican series.
The Mexican series is not a good guitar. For the same price as that, you can get an American built Gibson. I think that's incredible. So I would say,
that is amazing.
Whilst there are some great upgrades you could do, we could talk about upgrades. You could go out and buy some bare knuckle pickups. You could upgrade your hardware and things like that. I just think, for the cost of...
It's over half the cost, isn't it?
Yeah, for a couple of hundred quid that it would cost you, yeah, I would look into the... What was the name of the series?
Special Faded.
Yeah, Special Faded.
But there's two they do. So they do the Special Faded, and then they do the, like, 70s Special. Which are effectively the same guitar, but one has got the mini humbuckers.
Yeah, which is still really, but the mini humbucker ones look really cool with the sort of 70s style scratch plane.
I'm not a fan of that 70s style. I'm not a fan of that 70s style unless it's like a Firebird. And then,
you're so wrong.
It's all right.
We're running out of time. We've still got some time. Right. So what I want to do, because I bothered to lug these all the way over to your house, is I want to just talk through a couple of more of these pedals.
Well, if we can, before we do that, whilst I realise that, you know, you do like to make it all about you, and
no,
I've,
we can,
I've got
we
to,
can definitely, we can
I've
run
got,
over, we can
I've
run
got
over.
To, I've got to partly play Mark Packham's role here and bring it back into where
okay.
we are.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
We have had a couple of questions from the live chat,
okay.
which I'd just like to address. First of all, we've had a couple of, one, there's a cool feature on, cool for us, on Amplify, which allows people to drop us spontaneous tips. And whilst we've been recording, we've had a couple of tips drop in. We've had a fiver from Agnes and Willie, and we also had a fiver from Whitney. So thanks very much, gang.
Wow.
That's really cool. And we've had some VIP members jump in as well. We've had Bart, and we've had Jess, and we have had JD, bass doubler, all jump in as VIP members. So thanks very much for that, guys. That's really cool. But let's go back to we've had some questions. So long term friend of the podcast, Matt Quine, who is on the group chat there as Matt
QA. I've got to read his name out in a bit.
Oh, you do? Yeah, of course. Yeah. So long time fan of the podcast. We ain't got no fans. We're mates. We've got mates is what we've got. So yeah, long term mate of the podcast, Matt Quine. Hi Matt, hope you're doing well. He says, my rig is all set up for humbuckers, but I'd really like to use my Jazzmaster live. Would an EQ pedal solve the brittleness of the sound, or should I just give up and use humbucker guitars live?
Matt Knight.
No, you could use an EQ pedal, and I think the greatest example of this, which I think I mentioned, probably mentioned a couple of times, but I definitely remember speaking about it before, is Billy Gibbons. Obviously plays loads of crazy guitars on stage for ZZ Top, yet his tech EQs every single one so it sounds exactly like his Les Paul.
because really, what, ultimately, so he just uses loads of different things and they all look different, but they all sound the same all, front of house.
Live, they're all designed to sound exactly like the Pearly Gates Les Paul. Brilliant. In the studio, he'll use loads of guitars and get loads of different sounds, but live, it's all about that Les Paul into the Marshall JMP. So I think, if I remember rightly, it's something like 4 or 5 G7s, and they're all like tailored slightly differently because he uses loads of like Esquires and pickups with like guitars with like one pickup and loads of custom design pickups. But yeah, everything live wants it to sound like that Les Paul, and that'd be a great option. Something like if you went for the Source Audio programmable EQ, you can actually have 4 saved settings. So if you used a couple guitars live, you can actually, you know, spend some time actually EQing the pedal for each one of your guitars, and they're like, I think around £100 or just over £100.
So it's not that,
and you
much
can
more
really
like,
kind of shape the sound out.
So it's not that much more than like a Boss GE7, really, is it?
Yeah,
getting the program
or GE, yeah, GE7B. Actually, because I found a lot of guitarists GEB7 have gone for the bass version because you've got better low end response.
That's right. I've got one of those bass versions. You can pick up the old like Japanese made brown GEB7s, which are absolutely brilliant. I think I got mine for £15 on eBay.
That is crazy.
They've remarkably sort of bottomed out in value, even though they're one of the best EQ pedals on the market.
Yeah. I think an EQ pedal, it can definitely be done. You can definitely get some sort of really subtle sounds out of it. But
what about that Seymour Duncan pedal that we were demoing on the weekend?
The Palladium.
Actually, that would probably... No, I'm thinking the pickup booster.
Yeah, the pickup booster.
The Seymour Duncan pickup booster
has
the resonance switch, doesn't it? So it's like single coils to a vintage humbucker or to a more modern humbucker. So that might be a good shout. And then just turn the gain down.
How about that? Yeah, so Matt, actually, I think that's a really good question, a really good suggestion.
Keep your eyes peeled because Matt will be demoing that and showing with. Actually, we never talked about Matt's guitar that he's going to be using on. Well, he's used and will be using in.
Oh, we can talk about it in the
Patreon.
Oh, okay, we'll talk about it in the Patreon.
So Matt Quine, have a look at the Seymour Duncan pickup booster, which is a pedal they've got their own place in history, the Seymour Duncan pickup booster,
yeah,
because they were around at a time when, you know, the only people who were making pedals really were pedal companies.
Yeah.
You didn't get companies who other guitar, like that made other bits from guitars, diversifying and making like other things. They just people, you know, Seymour Duncan were a pickup company and they were making a guitar pedal. That's really cool. That's really cool. You know, that was happening 10, 15 years ago or whatever. And then it disappeared. And then it, you know, re-emerged like a phoenix from the flames and ended up being this really cool, like, new pedal. But there's a switch on there. There's a dip switch which allows you to move between three different settings. One, the setting zero is it remains at neutral. And you just use it as a boost pedal. Setting one, you flip that down and it turns your single coils into vintage style humbuckers. And setting two, it turns your single
three,
coils.
You mean?
No, because it's zero, one, and two.
Oh, I see. Sorry.
And it turns your single coils into high gain humbuckers. So that would probably do what you're looking for, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's one of the best.
A good way without adding too much gain.
Yeah, definitely. Unlike the audio that's coming through from you, which basically sounds like a broken up amp right now.
I hope it's all sounding all right. If we can have a couple of people just give us some reassurance, that'd be that'd be really good.
We are at time, and okay. We've still got a bit to do. So because we've got to do all of that stuff. So because we can run over because we're cool.
Okay.
I'm going to talk you through each of these pedals. So I'm going to show you each of these pedals. These aren't all that we've got coming. We've got loads more. But I'm just going to show you each of these because these are some of the cool ones. I'm going to get Matt Knight. To sort of tell us a very short sort of sentence about what he thought about each pedal one by one. So first up, Matt Knight.
The Clisonic Lucid Fuzz.
Yes.
Buy one. It sounds awesome. If you like playing with your guitar's volume control more than the volume on a pedal, buy that.
So that was kind of what you found, wasn't it? That this was a really receptive fuzz to the way your volume would be controlled.
It's very much a sort of Queens of the Stone Age style fuzz. It's awesome.
Do you know off the top of your head how much these are retailing at?
150 was it 150 euros?
Yeah, I don't
is
think
that
it
what
was
we
a
saw?
Lot. I don't think it
I'm,
was a
I'm
lot.
Gonna say 150 euros.
And one of the best built pedals I've seen in a long time. That's a really high quality boutique pedal. Next one up. Seymour Duncan
Vapor Trail. Mm. I would struggle to choose between that and a carbon copy after the demo at the weekend.
I agree. This is one of the best analog delays I've ever heard.
Yeah, and the fact that you've got the insert control on the side for various different things, which you'll see in the demo, that thing is amazing.
Yeah, that input control, it's all about that. But also all of the Seymour Duncan pedals having a 9 or 18 volt input for increased headroom, I thought was such a great touch. For a pickup company, such a well thought out range of pedals. These are absolutely amazing. And all assembled in Santa Barbara in California, as it says, printed on the back. And this one, of course, the 805.
Tube Screamer with active EQ. So Tube Screamer without the kind of hollow...
Yeah.
Mids and less bass, I suppose.
So basically a company that's gone, what's the problem with Tube Screamers, and have sorted it out. And the active EQ being done on these mini controls, you see those three mini buttons in the middle. All of their pedals top mounted. So again, like, just forward thinking, that is how pedal boards are getting. They're getting larger and space is coming at a premium. So doing this just makes tons more sense. So another brilliant pedal by Seymour Duncan. Mentioned it briefly, but
yeah, Empress tape delay. A good contender to, I don't know, perhaps like some of the more sort of like fancy delays out there. Maybe something like the Strymon El Capistan. Like if you were looking down that sort of route, that's definitely a great option because it gives you some kind of cool features that you wouldn't normally get from most delay pedals.
Definitely, and these two. From one of our favourite companies at the moment, Cast Engineering.
Yeah, so what, the Texas Flood, Tube Screamer again style circuit, but without that kind of hollow mid and bass. But the Pulse Drive was one of the standout ones. Tremolo with 30 dB worth of boost.
Yeah.
So you can really push the front end of your amp and get some kind of really vintage sort of tremolo sounds out of that. So
and really, I was super impressed with that. Finishes. The finishes on these pedals. Look.
Oh,
at
and
that.
All the controls light up.
Oh yeah, the buttons all light up.
All the controls light up.
And flash, which is incredible. And this one, which I left in its box on the table because I think it's really important to see just how high quality the packaging even is for this. So this is the Ramble FX Marvel Drive. This is their third evolution of the Marvel Drive. Now, Matt Knight, you actually own one of these on your pedal board.
Yeah, so I must admit, it's one of the few things that I actually bought blind, because there's not many places, and there was nowhere in the UK at the time you could actually buy one from. And the day I received it, Mark said that we'd actually received one in the post for Guitar Nerds, and when I plugged it in, I was super impressed. That is one of the best sounding Marshall hot rodded plexi things in a box.
That sounds like a
cranked Marshall.
Yeah.
In fact, it basically, as you see in the video, it is a Marshall. Like half of the circuit is a Marshall amp with transistors instead of valves.
That's what they said, didn't they?
Yeah,
super cool. They do say that it's just they use part of the same circuitry and just swap out transistors for.
Which is incredible.
Yes. Yeah.
Now we are
just before. I'm going to jump in. We've got another question that came in right at the start.
I can't find it.
It was from a guy called Nick. It was from, where's Nick gone? Nick asked, Nick Lovering, and this is just a quick one. Matty and Joe, I'm going to jump in for you. Nick wants to know if we can settle an ongoing debate that he has with his son. Which is cooler, combo or head and cab?
Head and cab.
Head and cab.
See, I'm going to disagree.
It depends what combo, though. But
I'm going to disagree here because I reckon. So I definitely thought, like, until fairly recently, I reckon that that head and cab was cooler. But what's cooler than an AC30?
I was actually this.
Nothing
the
is AC30 cooler than AC30.
Is the only amp that gives it a run for its money.
What about a twin?
No, a twin does not give
what
it a run.
What about a Roland JC120?
Not really, no.
Nah, you're
see,
no
for,
mug.
See, the for me, amp- it was. I was going to say things like the Tone Kings, the ones that look like 1950s TVs.
Mm.
Like.
Yeah.
I definitely think, yeah, perhaps maybe they did look better. But head and cabs, it's just like, you know. You can have a cab built and it'll look just like the head, just like I have. And then
I don't think anybody should get custom made cabs. I'm not sure.
Matt Knight has just had two incredible custom made Zilla cabs.
I don't think anybody should get custom made cabs, especially anything that's custom made to look like stuff you've already got. I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
Well, no, there's no, that. Anyway, no, we are super over time, so we've still got a few things to read out. So. For all of our listeners out there, I can't really remember how Mark gets to talking about this bit. Essentially, we also do an additional part of our podcast on Patreon.com.
Yeah, Patreon exclusive.
It's a Patreon exclusive. So, in order to get
access to it,
yes, you have to become a Patreon member.
Backer. Yeah.
Oh, this is good. You remember this more than me.
Yeah, I know. It's because you're usually thinking about a funny voice, aren't you?
Yeah, okay. So anyway, one of the perks of being a Patreon backer, everyone, is that you get your name read out on the podcast, just like these people.
Yeah, okay. So before you do that, you've gone about this really in a bizarre way.
You do it.
So thanks very much for joining the podcast. If you want another half hour of this absolute shambles, I think those might be his exact
That's
words.
That's exactly how it does
absolute it. Shambles, then just head over to patreon.com/guitar nerds, where what you can do is you can for a minimum, for no more than $5 a month. $5 a month, which is like, what, like £3?
Well, it depends, I think.
Well, £3 in our money. It
depends what happens to the pound in two
weeks. It's very true. It's very true. But it's about the price of a pint here. It's about the price of 5 pints in the US, but about the price of a pint here. You can get another half hour of this just go patreon.com/guitar nerds. And if you pay $10 a month, you become one of our exclusive backers, which means we tend to focus in on your questions, which is why I went and went straight to Matt Quine there when I saw he put a question in there. But yeah, so there's a bunch of people who have who are our exclusive backers, and
executive producers,
and Joe's going to read their names out in a funny fashion while I sing the Ski Sunday theme.
Are you ready?
Andrew Marco, Brad Page, Mark Cross, Mark Rice, Rob Pierce, JD Short, David Carroll, Andy McKenzie, Eric Seary, Paul Corrigan, Jack Godfrey, Jack Conroy, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Matt Quine, Fletch Fletcher, Phil Thompson, Laurie Anstis,
That's it.
Yeah, I think there's another bar, but I didn't really want to do it.
I should have slowed down.
No, that's fine.
But thanks very much, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to this, the launch of
Amplify,
Amplify, and thanks everyone to all our regular listeners. Who've put up with our Amplify focus this week.
Back to normal. We won't be talking about anything other than ourselves next week.
No, we will not. So
Mark's
anyway,
going to be back, and we're going to have to be a bit more professional
and
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, thank goodness for that. Anyway, so if you are joining us over on Patreon, we will see you over there. If not, you can check us out. You can get more of this stuff on amplify.fi every Tuesday at 8:30. You can go over to guitarnerds.net, where you can listen to our podcast anytime or listen to it on iTunes or any other streaming device. You can check out our videos on YouTube at youtube.com/guitarnerdsvideos. You can join the forum on Facebook, which is facebook.com/guitarnerdsforum.
How many times you said you've read that one out loads today?
I know,
I just know it.
I just felt that. Sorry. You can follow us on Twitter at guitarnerds or on Instagram at the same. And you can follow us individually. So you can get Matt Knight on Twitter at Matt_Knightsy. That is Knight with a K and an S-I-E on the end. You can get J Cross at J-A-Y-B-N-1. And you can get me at Yosef_900. That's all.
I think
that's
you've done it now, I'm thinking, haven't you?
That's everything. That's
Should
all
we...
of them?
Yeah, I think that's done. Okay. Thanks very much to everyone for getting involved. Thanks very much for everyone on the chat. I don't know. Can you make sure that you don't hit delete when you push save on that?
I've actually, because Matt Knight normally hosts it, he's left me notes.
Matt Knight.
Because Mark Packham normally hosts it, he's left me notes on what to hit first in order to end
to
this.
To stop it.
So okay. Anyway. Thanks very much, everyone, for tuning
great
in.
Great radio.
Thanks, everyone,
great
for
TV.
Listening. Thanks if you're watching on YouTube. Join us over on Patreon, where we'll be talking about unsung brands. So we'll also
Branton.
Be answering... Yes, me. Unsung me. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be taking questions from the group. So thanks very much, everyone, and we will see you this time next week.
Live long and prosper.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Stop recording.
Just checking. I'm just checking.
Are we on?
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.